Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, it's been actually a couple weeks since I had you last on the show, and that, I think, gives us the opportunity to look ahead to this year, 2021, and some of the big overarching themes that you are going to be watching that you think will have the biggest impact on the precious metals market. This actually times perfectly with something you just posted on your site today entitled 2021, A Gold Odyssey. This is, as you call it, your 2021 macro cast. This is private just to your subscribers right now, but we can still talk about it. So give me a little insights on some of the key points in this macro cast, please.
You got it. First of all, Happy New Year, Corey. It's going to be a fun year. And then again, I'll make that public. Anybody can go to TF Metals Report early next week and read it. But for now, I just posted for subscribers a couple hours ago, and I called it a gold odyssey because it's going to be, oh my God, you know, they don't call it a bull market for anything. You know, I think of the old Tim McGraw song where he talked about going 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu, right? Remember that? Man, we got to ride Fu Manchu this year. And it is, if you're going to get the gains, you got to ride all the way to the bell, right? If you're going to be the winner. And there are going to be multiple occasions this year where that thing's going to try to buck you off with a B, just in case everybody was wondering. In preparation for that, and the basis and why I call it a macro cast, because really gold's moving on a longer term off of macro conditions, right? I mean, day to day, God knows what the banks or the algos or whatever are going to do based off, you know, what's happening with the dollar or the bond market or all that kind of stuff. And you can drive yourself bats with the day for day and the tick for tick. So we try to focus on the big picture. I don't want to extend this into a 15-minute monologue, but I recognized, and a lot, not just me, but a lot of people recognized, at the end of 2018, the Fed changed policy or set themselves on a course to change policy really for the last time. And that is, they had spun the plates for 5 years telling us that they were going to normalize their balance sheet and they were going to normalize interest rates. We knew that was all BS. We just didn't know how far they could let things go before the whole system seized up in a contraction of the money supply and interest rates getting too high. And we know how far that is now. It got to, you know, late November 2018, and the stock market began to collapse. Mnuchin called an emergency meeting of the working group on financial markets on Christmas Eve, and everything changed. Recognizing that, in my macro cast 2 years ago, I wrote that this was going to be the year that gold finally broke out of that range, you know, that it contained it below about 1350 for the previous 6 years, and people thought I was crazy. But I felt pretty good about that because you saw the macro change, and we gave a target of 1500 or so, 1520, and that's exactly where we got last year, in 2019. So then I sat back, not knowing anything about COVID, and I thought, well, I don't see that changing. Fred formalized that policy change in June of 19, and we're still heading that direction. So I thought, well, okay, well, this is pretty logical that we would continue higher, maybe 20% in gold, maybe 20, 30% in silver, because I thought 22 would be stout resistance for silver. And obviously, we cranked out a great year, about 25% in gold and 48% in silver. And so now here we are. A lot of the same bears are out there. A lot of everybody talking about, you know, dollar rally, and it may at some point, you know, during the next 12 months. Bond market, real interest rates, nominal interest rates, all that stuff. But the macro picture remains the same. The Fed has committed $120 billion a month. They've said they're going to keep the Fed funds rate at zero until 2023. I mean, all this macro stuff is still there. And now you throw on what has happened in the U.S. politically. So I think it's perfectly logical that, as we look forward to next Christmas, to think prices are going to be higher. It's just going to be, man, it's going to be a wild ride between now and then. Over the last 7 years, gold has had an up January, okay? So I think we're going to get off to a good start. The average gain the last seven Januaries is 4.8%. So I think we get off to a good start. That would take us back up to near, 2000. We're already up about 1% for the year just this week. But if you look at the last bull market run of gold from 2005 to 2011, that's 7 years. And even including 2008, which we all remember was pretty freaky, the average annual gain for gold from 2005 to 2011 was just north of 20%, something like 20.4%. So I think that's where you start as a baseline. You think, okay, maybe another 20%. I'll give you one more thing that's in that macrocast that I think brings us together. It's very typical when anything, a stock, you can even say Bitcoin. I don't know, but maybe that doesn't fit because it just continues to go up for its own reasons. But anyway, when you have an old all-time high that was there for a long time, and gold's all-time high was 1920 and it held for, 9 years, once you break through there, it is typical, normal, average, whatever you want to call it, to then extend forward. You get a little froth, you get a little excitement. On about 10% been my experience in watching these things for the last 30 years. And that's almost exactly what gold did. Gold extended from 1920 to 2080. That's about 8.8%. And then, you know what happened in the fourth quarter. If we continue under these same macro conditions, continue to rally, 10% above last year's all-time high takes us to about 2,300. 20% for an annual gain from 1900 takes us to about 2,300. So that's where I settled.
Okay. Thanks for summarizing there, Craig. I'm going to ask you a couple questions regarding a few of those points you brought up there. The first being Fed policy. Look, I am in the camp too that says the Fed is going to remain easy. I don't know if they're going to get even easier from where they're at, but they have told us that they are going to stick to their guns, even if inflation runs over. However, just this week, I think we have heard from two Fed presidents, Patrick Hawker and Raphael Bostic. Both have said that they see the possibility of tapering some of this QE program by the end of the year. Do you take any credence in these comments? Because that would be a general change of what the expectations are.
Well, they've been contradicted by Evans and who was the other one? Not Harker. Oh, Mester. They both came on the other side this week as well. And again, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to Powell. You know, that some of that is just job owning. I don't, you know, I think more important, Corey, will be initially at the next Fed meeting, which is less than 3 weeks away, this talk of extending the maturities that they're buying. I think that's going to be more important than to the absolute number of $120 billion and whether that goes to $100 billion. $100 billion a month and maybe 80 or whatever. I think what's going to be more important is what they're buying. We've seen the 10-year Treasury note look like it was already under yield curve control and go sideways really since March, but here it's breaking above 1% this week. There's a level there. I thought it would be 1%, but there's a level there at which Powell and the rest of the Fed is not going to be happy. What is it? 1.5? 1? 2? I don't know. But they know what happens because they just saw it in November of 2018 and even early part of last year. They know what happens if rates get too high and it starts to impact the bond market, starts to impact liquidity. And remember, they're fighting. They want inflation and inflationary expectations. They don't want deflation. And so I think what's more important to watch in the next set of Fed meetings, one, the talk of whether they're going to, you know, buy longer term maturities, thereby kind of implying that they're capping longer rates at a certain level, you know, or that they're concerned about longer rates getting too high. But then all of the talk last summer about inflation, inflation expectations, and the Fed using average inflation and changing all that stuff that Powell announced Jackson Hole, all of the trial balloons where that was laid out last summer all came with a corollary that said the second prong of this strategy will be yield curve control, where the Fed actually comes out and states publicly that they will overtly cap rates. You know, they'll come in, they'll be aggressive buyers of whatever maturity above a certain interest rate. They don't even have to do it. They just, if the market knows they're gonna be there, it's like a Fed put. So I don't know if the absolute amount of QE is so much as important to watch as we go through the year as this continual evolving of their policies toward yield curve control.
Man, what a mess the bond market is already, I think, and going to be as we move forward, because you're right, all expectations are on the fact that the Fed will institute some sort of yield curve control. We don't know when they're going to do it. In all fairness, they kind of have had some yield curve control anyway, but it is more valid when they come out and actually state it. Now, regarding inflation, too, that was a topic last year. It's a topic really early on this year because we are seeing some of the inflation break evens run higher. The inflation break even 10-year is now at over 2%, 2.1%. This is the highest level since August 2018. Now, again, these are just expectations for inflation, but it really looks like we could be seeing a rise in inflation, maybe even a spike. How important is that to watch this year?
Well, and again, this, some of that will be impacted by what the Democrats do. And I just saw today, they think one of the first things they're going to do is another $750 billion in stimulus and cash payments and things like that. And you look too, one more thing, the falling dollar generates higher input costs for crude oil, copper, all the other commodities. And so you get a little cost push, where the input costs push inflation higher. I think that's reasonable to expect. And as you said, it's as evidenced in those break-even rates. The only thing constraining gold right now are the higher nominal rates, because we're still kind of printing a lot of the same real rates, inflation-adjusted rates, that we were last summer. You know, I mean, when the 10-year Treasury was at 55 or 60 basis points in early August when gold was 2,100, now it's like today, 105. Okay, so inflation may have moved up in the last 4 or 5 months, but I'm not sure it's even moved up as much as those nominal rates have gone up, 0.5%. And so that's the constraint. What yield curve control does is restrains those nominal yields from going any higher at, say, 1% or 1.5% or whatever whenever the Fed decides to act. And so then as inflation keeps going up, now your real rates, your inflation-adjusted rates, move even more negative. And that, boy, that's like a 95% long-term correlation with gold prices, negative in changes to real interest rates. And that will be, again, that's not maybe something that's going to happen this month or next. But I think eventually, as this year evolves, that's what's going to be a big topic of discussion. And I think that ultimately will be the key reason why those price targets I mentioned will eventually be hit.
All right. Well, Craig, we're going to wrap it up there because that is a lot to take in. And one thing to consider, too, is that gold is still doing well this week, even though it's been volatile and even though it's been down a little bit the last couple of days, still up for the week overall. And that's really what matters as we move right week to week, is a constant growth in the underlying metals prices, and actually not some just crazy skyrocketing move because, well, I've heard from many technicians that this is would not necessarily be all that positive. But overall, what we're seeing here is a good start to the year.
Yep.
Craig, great chatting with you. Again, I will post a link to your website, but everyone will have to go there early on next week to read over that full report, unless they are a subscriber. Craig, thanks for your time, buddy. Have a great rest of your week.
All the best, my friend.